Welcome back to the Punish Podcast, the official podcast of punishbacklog.com. I'm Amanda Tian, she, her, and I'm an editor here at the site. So this episode will be a two-parter. First, a discussion of all of the announcements and releases from summer 2025, you know, always a big time for gaming news, and discussions of games we've been enjoying, which will be hosted by Sam. And this is all this gaming news is especially relevant for the second part of the episode, which is part of our fantasy gaming series, where we do something like fantasy football, but we draft video games and their Metacritic scores and try to get the best overall team at the end of the year. David will host this section, recapping each team and leading us through our second and final waiver wire of the year. I'm joined by all the players in this year's fantasy season, including our illustrious league commissioner. So let's have everyone introduce themselves with names, pronouns, and answer this question. When given the choice, what of the three following video game combat methods are you likely to choose? Close combat, like swords, or whatever, other melee weapons, far combat, like a bow, arrow, sniper, gun kind of thing, or magic combat, like a mix of close and far, but it's only like your spells and potions type stuff. So close combat, far combat, or magic combat. Sam, you wanna go first?
Yeah. Sam Martinelli, he, him, editor at the Punish Backlog. I would say it depends on the game, but I actually usually gravitate towards like close combat. Because even in like first-person shooters sometimes, like Halo, I love shooting something just so I can melee it in the face later. Or like Wolfenstein, I'd rather get close and axe someone in the face. So yeah, close
combat. Totally agree. Yeah.
Hey everyone, David Silbert, he, him, another editor here at Punish Backlog and Punish Podcast. And I agree with Sam, I go close quarters. Mm-hmm. I think for me it's different though. I think it's just like, I feel like most games that offer choice, like maybe I'm just being boring, but I feel like they gravitate, like it's just like they build the combat first. And I think like something like a bow, like I know another Punish Backlog writer, Mark Bowers, he loves like the bow in Skyrim, but I could just never get into like the stealthy build there. I do like magic as a follow-up though. So if there's like a compelling magic build, like I know I did that in Avowed earlier this year, but otherwise close quarter all the way.
Hi, Gary Wilson, he, him, also a writer for the website for the Punch Backlog. It's funny, in fighting games, tend to go for the big fist, not a lot of combo characters. Not grapplers, but like, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter VI recently because they just put my character back in. Sagat has finally joined the roster, so I've been throwing a lot of fireballs and hitting a lot of big buttons. So I would say close quarters in that way, but you know, earlier this year, I did a fusion pistols and magic build for Avowed, which was a ton of fun. So mixed combat, also fantastic.
That was funny, Gary. Good one, man. You really got me going.
God damn it, Zach. We're just starting.
My name is Zach Golanello. He, him pronouns. Also a contributor here, writer at the Punish Backlog. I'll go close combat, definitely melee, swords, anything like that. I am just so god awful at any sort of shooter, any bows, doesn't matter. I can't shoot anything, so it's got to be close combat. And magic, I feel like sometimes there's just too many buttons, hotkeys. I can't keep track, so just give me a big old sword to bash people with, and I'm happy.
I'm Allison McDaniel, she, her. I ditto everything. I prefer close combat. I do not like bows and arrows. And also, like David, in Avowed, I played with magic. And it was awesome.
Yeah, and I think maybe I appreciate this answer, and I love it because I love that we all ended up pretty much on close combat, I think, which I agree. And the real answer, the ideal, which I did not give as an option, is like a combo. I think the combo of close combat with magic, that hits so good, but that wasn't an option, so I free everyone from that.
If you make a paladin in like Baldur's Gate, ooh, or doing a paladin type build in Elden Ring, you do get to do both.
Exactly. So. Like I'm talking Vanguard and Mass Effect, you know, for me.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, yes. Punch things at a distance with your forehead.
Exactly. And then where like, they bring up that little like boop, 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 like sci-fi arm thing. Like it looks like a Yu-Gi-Oh card deck reveal, but it's like a hacking thing. Yeah. Any kind of combat. I wish I was better at sniping. Like I love the idea of being good at sniping. And then I'm actually quite
there was a brief
bad
period in my Apex playing where I got pretty good at sniping, and then that faded incredibly quickly.
Exactly. Like, even when I go through phases where I'm, like, good on it, Apex was the exact game I was thinking of. Like, I'll get good at it for, like, a second, and then everything changes, and then I'm totally bad at it again. All right, so let's go ahead and get into... We're going to get into the discussion of the podcast first. David, did you want to tease anything about the second half to keep the listeners listening through the whole
season? Yeah. So, you know, I know the way we do our fantasy draft, we have a lot of ways for folks to engage with fantasy gaming on the site. Of course, we always love to hold our drafts live at the top of the year. So we've recorded that on the Punish podcast. And then we've also done like check-ins. So I think the most recent time that we talked fantasy was after Q1. In April, we talked briefly about how the standings have looked. And then in the months since, I like to do like a recurring written segment on the site where people can just kind of catch like smaller news about fantasy. Notably, though, we held our waiver wire draft in May. That was a written only piece. So it's really exciting to get to kind of finally congregate again, talk live about our teams and how they're doing, and then hold our waiver wire number two live. And I'm sure we'll eventually have like some kind of recap toward the end of the year. But this is going to be a really interesting segment for us. Some interesting movements in the fantasy standings. And honestly, here's your teaser: the race has narrowed quite a bit. Certain folks are within literally like 0.3. You know, 3/10 of a point.
Oh my gosh. Another.
So things are getting, it's anyone's game. Truly. I implore people, if you're thinking of kicking things to next year, just give us some thought before you do.
Oh, that's going to be so spicy. And I have threatened to scream and or cry in this. Yeah. But first, we're going to be really excited to talk about games that have been coming out. Some of which, you know, or might be coming out soon. Some of which we might be drafting in part two. So let's go to part one.
Welcome back to the Punished Podcast. And the first big part of this podcast, I'm just going to go through a lot of the big summer game news. We're going to talk about how the year's been going so far and what we're looking forward to. So I guess since the first time we recorded a podcast, there was that big Nintendo Switch 2 reveal. We've already kind of covered that. We've already done various drafts from it. Allison took Donkey Kong from me. I might forgive her later. Might. But I'm going to start with Summer Game Fest, that first big presentation. So Resident Evil Requiem, that's coming out in early 2026. That was the big announcement there. Lies of P Overture, that's already out, but I know for those Souls-like fans, that was a big deal. Dying Light the Beast, it's another Dying Light game. That's coming out in September. It's coming out about 1 month from now. Ark Raiders, another shooter. Scott Pilgrim EX, unspecified date. I know Gary's fist pumping at a new Scott Pilgrim game. Mortal Shell 2, 2026, and Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. That's also out next month. So if you want Mario Kart but worse, that's there. Is there anything of note besides Scott Pilgrim for Gary that anyone wants to highlight here? Obviously, Resident Evil is a big deal, but what else? Anything popping out to anybody else?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't recognize like any of these game titles. I mean, obviously I recognize that some of them are like franchises, but they just mean nothing to me. I'm just like, oh, okay. So
as a thinly veiled shot at writer for the site Key, this summer was a lot of sequels to Souls likes that I don't care about. Yeah. So I'm curious to see what Mortal Shell 2 looks like, although I doubt I will ever play it.
Yeah, for me, Resident Evil Requiem is like Resident Evil as a franchise for me is it's either one of my favorite games ever made or I bounce off it in like an hour. So we'll see how it goes with Requiem. I like that you can switch between first and third person, but it's also big and spooky, and that doesn't always sit well with me.
I just want to highlight Sonic Racing because it feels like it's the year of racing games.
Yeah.
With Mario Kart World and then Kirby Air Riders after Sonic Racing. But I mean, I'm excited.
And the racing
transformed
games are fantastic. Like the last one that they put out for in kind of the 360 era was awesome. I had a huge blast with it. So
there's also a Garfield cart coming out soon.
Yeah. Are you serious? Oh my God, when is that coming out?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
No, it's It's September, I believe.
Well, the open beta starts in like September 2nd or something like that. Like soonish.
Oh boy. I'm excited. Okay.
Anyway, moving on to PlayStation State of Play. These are always really weird because they're mostly announcements for either games that we already know about or are not like the top tier PlayStation games that people want to know about. But this one had some good highlights. Cairn, which is a rock climbing game that's coming out in November. That looks interesting. Digimon Story Time Stranger. There is absolutely still a market for Digimon games. That's not me, but there's definitely a lot of people who love that. And Everybody's Golf Hotshots, a new golf game. It's in a classic series, September 5th. Final Fantasy Tactics, The Evil East Chronicles, which I think is just a remaster of the original. I know that's a big deal. I've never played that game, but I know it's like considered one of the best Final Fantasy games, period. So that's coming out in September as well. We got a first trailer for 007 First Light out in 2026. That's made by the team that did the Hitman games, so that seems promising. Something that I'm really interested in, Lumines Arise. If anyone's ever played Lumines, I wrote about it briefly in my most recent Punish Notes. But this is by the people that did Tetris Effect, so it's going to be that style of puzzle game where it's very much of a vibey, you know, music playing as you get further and further. I'm really interested in that. Nioh 3, I put release date as who knows. Another classic, an example of a Souls-like game that some people really love and some people don't really care about. Of course, the biggest announcement, I know we're going to get another fist pump from Gary, who is leading us, who's leading the league in fist pumps right now. Marvel Tokon Fighting Souls, a new Marvel fighting game. Besides Gary, anyone else excited about anything on this list?
I got to tell you, I used to be a huge Digimon fan. I used to watch the show all the time. It was like the thing I came home from school for, would sit in front of the TV. Used to love it. I even had the cards. No one had the cards, I don't think. I freaking love Digimon. I have so many action figures, and I don't think I could tell you the last time I consumed a Digimon video game, Digimon anything, because I've heard they're just all bad. They're all weird, and they're like these weird mix of genres that no one understands what's going on. So that's the only thing that caught my eye, because I'm like, could this be the one? Could I get back? Could I have some nostalgia? It doesn't look awful. Digimon Story Time Stranger. We love a colon. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's the only one that caught my eye because, man, I long for that Digimon nostalgia trip, and maybe this is it, but I don't know. I'm not holding my breath.
I mean, the announcement of Time Stranger finally got me to go around and play Cyber Sleuth, the game that came before Time Stranger, and that game rocks. I really enjoy it. I'm having a great time with it, although I'm playing it in small bursts. So I would recommend like checking out Cyber Sleuth. There's a demo, I believe, on most platforms, so you can check that out and see if Time Stranger is something for you. I could wax poetic about a lot of the things that were shown here. You know, the 007 game looks amazing. You know, Tokon Souls, you know, the Marvel Tokon Souls is just being made by the right studio. It's the Exord team out of Ark. So, you know, that's fantastic. But the thing that really caught my eye was Lumines. The Tetris Effect method being added to Lumines is a stroke of genius. And I don't think that there's anything that can quite capture the vibes of Tetris Effect the way that Lumines can as well.
I will give the quickest of shout outs. I promise I'd be brief on the segment. The quickest of shout outs to, I'll double down on Evil East Chronicles, Final Fantasy Tactics. It's like a weird like remaster plus because they're also like adding voice acting for the first time, which should give even longstanding players, you know, kind of a fresh way to enjoy that game. And also Cairn. I am the biggest fan of their developers, the Game Bakers. They're a French-based studio. Okay, yes. Yeah. So they're the people who make, folks who made Fury, one of my all-time favorite action games. I love that game. And
Haven, right?
Haven, which I thought was awesome. Solid. Yeah, I need to go back and finish it. But Cairn, keep it on your radar. Could be good.
All right. Xbox Showcase. All right. This one was like jam-packed with a bunch of games that are either like we already knew about, but also some surprises. Call of Duty Black Ops 7, that's no surprise, coming out in November. Clockwork Revolution, that's by the studio, I think it's the people that, it's In Exile, I think. Yeah.
Correct.
Yep. That, we have no idea when that's coming out. It looks interesting, though. Gears of War Reloaded, which is just a remake of a remake, comes out in 2 days. Grounded 2 Early Access, that's already out. Keeper, I think that's the new game from, I'm blanking on the studio, the Psychonauts.
Double Fine,
yeah. So that could be good. Ninja Gaiden 4, obviously, a lot of attention to that. Outer Worlds 2, we all like what Obsidian's been doing lately. Big fans of Avowed here. Chronos, the new Dawn, that's coming out this fall. High on Life 2, I did not care for the first one, but some people love it. Persona 4 Revival, that's another remake of Persona 4. We don't have enough Persona games. There's not enough Atlas.
There's more.
Just more Atlas.
Yes.
And one that really caught my eye, Super Meat Boy 3D. Super Meat Boy is a tough-as-nails 2D platformer. I like that they're trying a 3D version of it. I think that looks really interesting. That's my sort of highlight of this presentation. Anybody else have any thoughts about this one?
I'm really excited about Outer Worlds 2. I loved the first one. I'm excited that it's, in theory, actually coming out this year. That's a nice surprise to me.
I like what I see of Clockwork Revolution. I agree with you, Sam. It's like hard to know exactly what that entails, but I like that In Exile is not just doing like isometric, like, you know, they're the folks behind Wasteland 3. So excited to see what they do there. Otherwise, just kind of a little meh on the rest of the slate, but also Keeper. It's cool to see what's coming from Double Fine. So interested to see how that scores.
I'm also excited for Clockwork, but like I feel like they announced it years ago, and it's just one of those games that we're just going to get minor updates every couple years.
Yeah, it's like it's mildly vaporware. But it actually they actually gave like a real gameplay demonstration this time, which I think is a little encouraging. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like I'd be shocked if we even get this in 2026. So like
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to do a quick one for Gamescom Opening Night Live. I know my list isn't entirely in order of when these things happened, but this one just happened and it was kind of a dud, let's be honest. But like Lords of the Fallen 2, again, another, as Gary mentioned earlier, another Souls-like sequel that, you know, maybe has its audience, but that audience is not here.
Your mileage may vary on those.
Yeah. The one that my favorite announcement from this, besides the confirmation that Hollow Knight Silksong is alive, don't worry, Amanda, we'll get to you later. Is Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. Yeah, a lot of thumbs up, a lot of nods. I like the idea of a new Arkham game that's not really an Arkham game. Matt Berry is the voice of Bane in this game.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where I'd listen to him read the phone book if they still made those. Like, he's just that funny. And Black Myth Zhongkui, I guess that's a sequel to Black Myth Wukong, that very much TBD. Any commentary on this one?
I'll just give a little bit of color to I plus one. Lego Batman stole the show for me. My partner is such a big fan of, I'm blanking on the exact name of the developer, but they did the Skywalker.
The Skywalker like the
most recent, yeah, they did the most recent Lego Star Wars, which was, you know, like pseudo open world. Behind the over the shoulder cinematic, like very kind of a departure for other Lego games. So seeing them adopt that, take that approach with Batman, a game that I could probably play co-op with my partner while also having that Batman Arkham knowledge going in, it just seems like it'll be like a slam dunk.
There wasn't much of a show at Gamescom to steal for Batman to steal it, but Batman looked awesome. Like that, I don't want to take that away. I do also want to shout out the first paid expansion for Cult of the Lamb coming soon, Wolhaven.
Oh, that's right.
More Cult of the Lamb is just a good thing. That game rocks. And adding more villagers, adding more more spaces and things like that, big fan.
I love that game. I didn't catch that there was something coming out, man. That's awesome. That's great news. Look at that. Breaking news right here. Shout out Cult of the Lamb, one of my all-time faves. There's been a lot of additions to it, and I feel like I've been overdue for getting back into it, so maybe that's the push I needed.
Yeah, it's one of the games I keep forgetting about, but I know people have very nice things to say about it, so it's definitely on my list in the future for sure. I'm glad it's getting more content, you know. I'm happy for you guys. Let's go to I'm gonna do like a quick, because Nintendo had three separate showcases that could have just been one. I don't know. So there's the Nintendo Partner Showcase, also kind of some stuff that was kind of cool, but Monster Hunter Stories 3. I have not played any of these Monster Hunter Stories games. I hear they are, you know, hit or miss kind of. Like, it's either exactly what you want from the franchise or you don't really care about it at all. Octopath Traveler 0. That's out this year, December 4th. So if you want more Octopath, I know that's a big series now. You're getting it. The Adventures of Elliot, The Millennium Tales. Bad title. Really good demo. A lot of us tried that demo. It's kind of like their HD 2D take on a Zelda game where, unfortunately, the fairy speaks in actual voice acting, and that's more annoying than Navi. But the actual gameplay, the style of it's really promising. I think that's going to be good. That's supposed to be out next year. Once Upon a Katamari, love more Katamari. That's out in October. Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment, out in 2025. If you like Hyrule Warriors, the more the better, I guess. Anyone else, any thoughts on this?
Did people like the last Hyrule Warriors game?
That's fine. People did. Yeah, it's fine.
Because I liked the first one. I was excited. It was fresh. It was exciting. And I thought the second one was going to be awesome. All the characters, so much to do. Something about it didn't click for me. And I want to be excited for this, but I'm not sure what to make of it. I'm hoping that we get a return to form, but I'm not sure if it's for me.
It was certainly.
I want to be excited. Come on, yeah. Zelda, let's get excited.
It was certainly more Dynasty Warriors than Hyrule. And I've enjoyed a Dynasty Warriors game in the past, so I had a good time with it. But I'm not going to say that it's, you know, high art or one of the great games.
I also hear that Age of Calamity, the last one, ran so poorly on the regular Switch.
It was rough.
But like, it runs really smoothly on Switch too, so that seems promising for the new one. Yeah, like for me, the Adventures of Elliot is the big standout here, just because it's kind of new and fresh. But yeah, this was not. I didn't walk away from the showcase being like, "Oh, I'm definitely getting that, definitely getting that, definitely getting that." Speaking of another okay showcase, the Nintendo Indie World showcase. The biggest announcement for me here is Mina the Hollower on Switch 2 coming out October 31st. There's already a demo. I'm really excited about that. Yacht Club game, same team that did Shovel Knight. Is The Seat Taken? A nice, cute indie about organizing people. That's already out. That was out. That was a shadow drop. Well Dweller, Ultimate Sheep Raccoon. That's coming out this winter from the Ultimate Chicken Horse developer. Content Warning. That seems like a fun kind of multiplayer pseudo-horror game. Besides Mina, anyone else want to chime in about what stood out to them?
Shout outs Ultimate Chicken Horse and now Ultimate Sheep Raccoon for being the best party games that are not the Jackbox games.
Yeah, I love the indie world. I also want to shout out Herdling is a game that a lot of people are excited about.
I think it just came out. I think it's out already.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the date, but yeah. I played Is It Seat Taken, and that was awesome. And then they announced Tiny Bookshop for Switch, which I know was a complete surprise, and that was really exciting to see. I loved it. That was awesome.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like a good, like, cozy game, kind of like fun puzzler game direct for people who like games like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have the Kirby Air Riders Direct, where they talked about Kirby Air Riders for 45 minutes. The legendary Masahiro Sakurai explained to us which one was the rider and which one was the vehicle. The game's out November 20th. I think it looks really good. It also just looks like Kirby Air Ride, so some people are like, well, is this really a AAA game? I'm like, it's Kirby Air Ride. It's more of that. If you like that, then you will probably like this. Anyone have thoughts about Kirby Air Ride or Riders? I know the GameCube game is kind of a cult classic. It didn't actually do that well when it came out, but it has a following.
Yeah, all I'll say on this is that I never played the original GameCube game, and I will say that I watched the entire Direct. It was, you know, entirely unnecessary, but it was watching Sakurai just talk about something with as much passion. You know, like, the man knows how to, like, put together a presentation and just sweat the details, and that was just entertaining enough. But also, it's so funny how clear, like, the Smash Bros influence is. Like, the victory screen is like very much Smash Bros, like showing this fighter is here, right, this racer is here, very much Smash new challenger approaching. I think for that alone I'm interested. Like, if it reviews semi well, I imagine I'll pick it up and just have fun with it. But yeah, I'm not expecting like game of the year contender for real.
I have a question, which is that Sam, in the past, his theory has been when a console is dying, a Nintendo console is dying, they just like suddenly release a bunch of Kirby games. So given that this is coming out within the first few months of Switch 2, Sam, is your theory that they made this for Switch 1 and then we're like, let's turn it into like a couple months into the Switch 2 launch title, or do you think they've always meant for it to be a Switch 2?
I think the biggest difference here is that this is the first Sakurai-led Kirby game since the first Kirby Air Ride. And I think the fact that he's involved and that they so prominently want to feature him in all the marketing for it suggests otherwise, that I think they want there to be an early Kirby game. But, you know, again, ask me 5-6 years from now when we're getting like remasters of Kirby Planet Robobot and all this crap. We're getting, you know, Kirby Tilt and Tumble 2. That's when things are starting to go south. But also, this is a good year for Kirby. There's more Kirby content for Forgotten Land coming out this week. So maybe they're reversing fortunes. Maybe they're going to start with the Kirby games. And then the last death knell of the Switch 2 is going to be, I don't know, lots of like Mario RPG remasters. Yeah, all right, so...
Before I have a question on that, yeah. Actually. Do you all feel like it's going to be worth $70?
I mean, they've raised prices of everything, so by that logic, kind of. But, I mean...
But if Kirby games are, like, historically maybe not always as up to par, perhaps...
No, like, Kirby games are usually pretty high quality. It's just, like, do you like Kirby?
Do you like what they're going for in them?
Yeah, is it enough content? Like, I've never played Kirby Air Ride.
I don't think that they have shown anything to make me say that it won't be worth $70, but I'm not sure it will be worth $70, if that makes sense. Like, the things they've shown could be, like, there's nothing in there that makes me be like, all right, why isn't this a budget kind of thing? But also that Direct was just so minutia information heavy that it's hard to judge really anything coming out of it, besides the fact that like the racing does look good, like it does look fun.
Also, why do it so close to Mario Kart World? Like, I don't really understand. Because
it's totally different, man.
They're very different things, absolutely.
Kirby, in fairness, Sakurai himself addressed that too. He said, "You know, Mario Kart exists, right?" And they're like, "Yeah, no, we want you to do this."
Yeah, like so. I haven't played the original Kirby Air Ride in a long time, probably like at least 15 years. But I gotta tell you, when you have like the controller in your hand, it just feels like a completely different game. And it's not like Mario Kart and other. If you play Mario Kart and then like Crash Team Racing or something, they're not quite the same, but they feel similar. You feel like you're playing a similar kind of game. And that's not the case with Kirby
Air Ride. Kirby totally Air Ride, weirdly enough, feels more like a competitive on rails shooter than a like racing game, because you don't have to go because you don't have to drive forward. You're just always going forward. You're much more focused on kind of like the environments around you and like the opponents around you, as opposed to like Mario Kart, where it's, you know, you're trying to stay on the fucking road without getting blown up.
Okay, cool. Neat then.
And also there was some hint at the end of that presentation that there might be some kind of single player like story element with that like new dark Kirby figure. Every Kirby game ends with you like fighting God, so I wouldn't be surprised if Kirby Air Riders had some other godlike dark being that you have to take down with the power of stars or some shit. But I don't know, I'm looking forward to it. Is it gonna be worth $70? TBD. That's my TLDR. That's my short answer. Before we get into a little wider discussion, just some games that have come out this summer that are notable. Obviously, Mario Kart World, Donkey Kong Bonanza, big Switch 2 games, Death Stranding 2. That seems to have hit pretty hard. People love that one. I put Dragon Drive here, even though I think people have already forgotten it exists. Sword of the Sea. It's bad. Sword of the Sea, I just played, just came out last week from Giant Squid. It's really good. Tiny Bookshop, Amanda loved that game, gave a great review for it. New chapters for Deltarune. The Altar is another game that Amanda really loved. FBC Firebreak, Gary's favorite game of the year. Peak, what people call friend slop, which just means games that are fun to play with people. Rematch, new soccer game from the people that did Sifu. The Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3+4 remake. I thought the 3 remake was great. The 4 remake was Okay. New College Football, Destiny 2 at the Edge of Fate, and Roger, a wonderful, wonderful visual novel. I really recommend that to everybody. Wu Chang Fallen Feathers, Vaughn on our site liked the game. Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, we also got a good review on the site about that. Mafia the Old Country, that's the last kind of... I hear it's like a... I know Amanda's shaking her head because you drafted it, but like everyone says it's a really good mid-game, which I think is a bad for fantasy, but good for gaming
it's
as a whole.
It's a B game. It is a classic B game.
Yeah. Before we get to the next session, just kind of want to talk about how do we feel about this year of gaming overall? Like, if you had to give it like a letter grade, what's the temperature you're taking right now?
I think I'm probably like a B+, A-. I think there's a lot of really great stuff that I've played. Like, obviously, Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, we talked a lot about in one of our last podcasts, which is excellent. And I've really loved playing The Altars and Tiny Bookshop this summer. But, you know, it's interesting when people have been asking me what have been like games you've loved this year. Like, I can think of the game I happen to be playing right now, but like, I literally forgot about Clair Obscur, which is not to say that like, it's not a great game and that I wasn't obsessed with it and like locked in and like all I could think about was it. And I wanted to like talk about it for 30 hours on end, you know, and just like have a podcast with myself, like, or Gary, just like us losing our minds together. But you know, it hasn't like had a mental staying power on me. I think partially because I was frustrated with how it ended. And sort of just like the last third of the game. But I think it's a good gaming year. I don't know if there's been any games that have been like, I don't know, totally uniting. I think it's interesting that Nintendo Switch 2 is out and I don't have one. And so there's like this chapter of games that are starting to happen that I just like don't have comments on. So for me, B+, A-. Like, there's been a lot I've loved and really enjoyed, but I don't know if I've been like, oh my God, like, this is my favorite game. Like, yeah. I've just been like, yeah, that's
no, fine. I completely agree. You know, I think that B+, A- at the moment is totally fair. That is also because I think this year was very front-loaded and back-loaded. I think that we've not been in like a quiet period, but like a catch-up period to kind of catch up on some of the things that has already come out. And I'm having a similar problem to Amanda for sure of, you know, I mostly just want to talk about the thing I'm currently playing, but I actually think that's a good thing because there are so many good things I have touched this year that none of them are just like muscling to the front, you know, and that sort of thing. Like I was talking about this the other day with a friend after we'll talk about the Hollow Knight thing very soon. But I was talking about this earlier of like, yeah, that's kind of blow up game of the year list. Like, things are going to get pretty complicated. And I was very straight up of saying, yeah, when I sit down to write mine this year, there's going to be like a 7-way dance for one. And I'm going to have to spend extra time to put myself back in the place I was when I was playing. Like, there is a Monster Hunter game that came out this year, a full Monster Hunter game that's pretty good. Like, there's some talk around it right now, but it is, you know, altogether pretty good. I haven't thought about it in months. Like, I devoured Blueprints and I have not thought about it in months. Like, there are these games that are kind of tent pulling the year of quality, meaning I forget the thing that was the previous tent pole.
Yeah, like, I forgot. Every now and then I'll be like, oh yeah, Blueprints and Split Fiction came out this year. Like, oh, like, I bought Split Fiction and I just like, it's literally in the disc like over there because I'm still waiting for like the right time to play it. So yeah, and even Blueprints, like my husband and I were playing together, it was really fun. We hit credits and then we were like, oh, and I remember David, like, especially like, oh, it's so like, there's even more cool stuff after you hit credits. Like, it's just the beginning of the game. And we're like, sick. And then I don't think we've opened it up one more time since then because there's other great games. Like, so that's a good positive reframe of it, is that there's lots of good games.
Sorry, David, go ahead.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to. All I'll add, I kind of agree with the general sentiment I'm hearing, which is like B+ to maybe A-. I think it's interesting, Sam, because when we reflected on 2024, I think your takeaway was that correct me if I'm wrong, but you said, you know, there were a lot of good games, but it didn't feel like there was like a clear front runner. And I actually get that vibe even more strongly for 2025. Where currently, if I were to like had to pick a, and I've played a lot of great games, all the games we've mentioned, Clair Obscur, you know, Split Fiction. But I think if I had to pick one, Blueprints is the one that sticks out, even though Amanda, funny enough, I stopped at the credits. I was just parroting what Gary said, which is that there's so much, and I believe it. There's so much that I didn't get to explore there, but then I let Game Pass lapse, and so I haven't gone back to it. But I think I'm like kind of hoping that Hollow Knight Silksong is that game for me. It's like that true game of the year game that just wins me over and it's just clear cut. Because right now, if I had to, I could crown a game of the year winner, but I think it'd be, I'm not sure if I would feel like great about that, which is silly because these are all like good games, including DK Bonanza, which I enjoyed quite a bit, but they're all like in that space where it's just like, I'm not like shouting from the rooftops about them.
Yeah, and you did not mischaracterize what I was saying about last year. And I actually feel still as strongly about it that like I picked Metaphor ReFantazio as my game of the year, and then like every month I'm like, was that really the best? Like, are you sure about that? But this year I'm leaning more in the A- for two reasons. Like maybe a little higher than like roughly where you guys are at, but a little bit higher. And there's two main reasons. One, I do have a clear front runner for Game of the Year. That's my boy DK.
Classic.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not like, I'm not saying it's the best game ever made, but it is exactly what I wanted.
It's your Game of the Year. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say there's three reasons. So one is my boy DK. Two is I feel like every itch I've had has been scratched, if that makes sense. Like every kind of game I want. There was like the out of nowhere indie narrative game, Ann Roger, that blew me away. There's, you know, the experimental like AA game like South of Midnight. There's the first person RPG in Avowed. There's the big story heavy turn based RPG in Clair Obscur. Like every kind of, there's a party game, Mario Kart World. Like every kind of game I want to play, I have played already this year, and there's still more to come. There's still Hollow Knight. There's still Ghost of Yotai, et cetera, et cetera. But and the third reason I'd say is I have not played anything that has been like a profound disappointment. Like Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Tour is probably the worst game I've played this year, but I can't say it's a profound disappointment because I didn't really have much to say about it ahead of time. I was like, oh, okay, I'll try it out. Why not? But like every year, usually around this time, there's some game that has come out where I'm like, wow, I really thought that could be something and it just wasn't, whether it's Redfall or I didn't really love Rebirth last year. Like there's always something that like kind of brings everything down. I thought something would be a big hit and it just wasn't. I haven't experienced that yet. Maybe it won't happen at all. Maybe this is a year where it's kind of like everything's at least good. Everything's at least fine and acceptable. So that's kind of where I'm at, I would say. Zach or Allison, do you guys have any, what's your take so far?
Yeah, I'm a little bit torn because I tend to be more of, you know, Switch exclusive and got the Switch 2 and got really excited. And so for a couple months there, I was all in, like playing Mario Kart every night. Couldn't wait to just get home or be done with work, whatever, and like, you know, do something. Even exploring other Switch games that I didn't get to, like on the Switch 2, that was exciting. So it gave me a moment. It gave me something to be really pumped about and kind of totally just jump head first into, but I'll say I'm at the point in DK where I haven't gotten to the best bits, and so everyone keeps telling me, hey, you got to power through, and so I'm pumped for it. I still want to go through it, but I've been kind of dabbling with it and other games, and I'm kind of in a little bit of a personal rut where I'm picking up like old things I never got to, and just I'm bouncing off stuff here and there. So I'm excited for, I mean, Silksong is going to be the thing, right? I think that's what we've all been waiting for. I got to clear the calendar, make sure I'm ready to go for that. And I think it's going to be, you know, I mean, everything looks awesome. The hype is impossible to tamp down. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, I mean, there's some other Nintendo stuff that I'm interested in. I mean, we'll see if Pokemon's any good. We'll see if we get a Metroid, release date, all that stuff. Who knows? Gary, I know we don't think so. We'll see. I mean, even Splatoon Raiders, right? Like that came out of nowhere. I was like, I'm really interested in that. We'll see when that comes out, if at all this year, probably not, but there's stuff to look forward to. But being in the Nintendo kind of, you know, looking through that lens, I'm not quite at an A or anything, even with the Switch 2. I want more.
Yeah, I'd say I'm probably at like a B minus. There was a lot of games that I really liked this year. Like I mentioned earlier, Avowed, I really liked. South of Midnight. I also really want to play Citizen Sleeper 2 because I played Citizen Sleeper earlier this year and I loved it so much. But I'm really frustrated at like the games that I really want to play that haven't come out yet this year that I'm just waiting around for to at least hear news about, like Slay the Spire 2. That's a big one for me. And then a few other cozy games. But overall, I mean, it's been pretty good. Could be better, could be worse. So about B minus.
Okay, so it seems like the vibe check is mostly positive, and with me a little higher and Allison a little bit lower. And so I think that's a nice range. I think it's, I think I said last year around this podcast, around this fantasy podcast, that like, I don't think my game of the year has come out yet. And I guess in literal terms, that was true because it was metaphor. But I don't know. I would like to believe that that's also true now, that like my favorite game of this year I haven't played yet. But I don't know. If it comes down to DK that and that's at the top of the podium at the end of the year, I'd be happy with that. So it's an interesting year. I love everyone's thoughts on this, but I think we gotta move on to the real highlight of the show here. So let's go take a quick break. And then David will start us off with some fantasy stuff. Let's go.
All right, we are back. And so I'm taking over the podcast for our second half. And as teased earlier on, we are delving right into our fantasy gaming update and final waiver wire draft of the year. So some notes before we get going. I already talked about how we've kind of covered fantasy gaming on the site in the past. So I'm going to try to understand that not everyone's going to read every fantasy gaming update. So I'm going to try to give a little bit, as much context as possible for our six contenders before we dive into the actual waiver wire. For those who don't even know what a waiver wire is, the waiver wire, basically after we drafted our seven games at the start of the year in May, everybody had the opportunity to drop one game of their choosing and pick up another. And the draft order for that was dictated by standings. And as I'm sure everyone can imagine, that's how we're going to do things for the second waiver wire. And of course, folks who were kind of set with their team didn't have to do that. So you could also choose to defer your pick to the second waiver wire, which is obviously today. That's about the rules. And one other quick refresher is that seven games per team, five are active, and two are essentially your bench. So as long as a team declared a game on their active roster before scores hit, that game was scored. That will come into play with one interesting release, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Any questions from the group here before we dive into just our general recap? All right. So I'm going to go in order of standings. So if you hear your name first, that does mean that you're last currently, but I think there's good news for everyone. No. As I said, the scores have narrowed dramatically, and I can kind of give the before after snapshot just so folks have known, can see how far we've come. So in sixth place currently, but still anyone's game, we've got Team Allison, Rip Switch 1. As a recap of what Allison drafted, her theme kind of at the top of the year was high potential indie games. So with her number one pick, she drafted Slay the Spire 2, obviously very hotly anticipated game. I assume that's one of the games that you're dying to hear info on, Allison. Number two, you drafted Moonlighter 2, The Endless Vault, you know, the upcoming sequel to a game that a lot of people loved. And that is currently slated for October 23rd, 2025. So still a little bit of time to go, but that is, you know, confirmed tentatively for this year. We've got Discounty, a then promising indie title that released to decent scores. Right now it's hovering around an 80 on Metacritic, released in August. We have Blade Chimera, which released to a 77 back in January. A really interesting Metroidvania that I've been meaning to try myself. Then we had Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, another entry from Life is Strange developer Don't Nod. And between the two halves of that game, you settled in at, well, now I can't do quick math in my head, but part one was a 75, part two is a 69, so that averages to, if my math is correct, a 72. And then with your final picks, you picked 33 Immortals from the Spiritfarer team. That game launched in early access in March, but we haven't heard about an actual release date, so that's still up in the air. And then you drafted Mouse PI for Hire, a really promising third 3D first-person shooter with kind of a 2D Cuphead art style. But again, 33 Immortals, Mouse PI for Hire, we're not really sure on release dates there. Those have been on your bench. And then when it came to our waiver wire, you dropped Slay the Spire 2, obviously citing, you know, it was, even when it does release, it's going to be an early access. So we're just not sure if it's going to, you know, scores are going to start dropping. And you picked up the no-brainer pick, Donkey Kong Bonanza. And that obviously released to a 91. That was a big boost to your overall score. So at the time of the waiver wire, you were averaging 73.8. But with the help of Bonanza, your average is up to 80, which is, that's a big swing. And you'll see that again, we're all in the 80s. Everyone's in the 80s. There's no one cracking 90. So, again, very much everyone's game. And before we kick it to the next team, I will say my big question for you, Allison, and I want to hear your general reflections as well. But how are you feeling, given the fact that you have some options here? You have Moonlighter 2 is the one game out of your five that hasn't scored yet. Of course, Mouse PI for Hire could also come out, and that could score as well as 33 Immortals. But how are you approaching the waiver wire? Like, are you focusing still in it to win it for 2025? Are you kind of thinking about what's out there for 2026? What's going through your mind heading into the waiver wire?
Ooh, so I have not thought about 2026 yet, but I'm not feeling confident about my picks. I mean, I'm glad I got Donkey Kong Bonanza on there. That really boosted me, but I really feel like I'm going to stay in sixth place.
As I said, still everyone's game, but sometimes the self-awareness is important, especially in a dynasty league, right? It's about the long play. It's, as people, I saw like a comment in this, in the Hollow Knight Silk Song comment section that were saying, second guessers can be right. Doubters can be right all the time, but believers only have to be right once. So I think that applies very, very nicely too. It applies to fantasy. You just got to win once.
That was loaded. That was...
You know, you got to win once. Okay, cool. Moving on. And this is what I mean. So in fifth place, but an average of 83 points. So it's a 3-point increase, but that's overcomable. That you can overcome that. The following next three games are the ones that I tease that are within 0.3 of a point of one another. So just to give you an idea, it's really the standings are tight. In fifth place, we've got Team Zach, Don't F Me Gary. So to kick off the year, Zach, you drafted, I think you're the first, or maybe you're the second pick in the draft, right? You drafted Grand Theft Auto 6. You're the third pick in the draft. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Well, I don't know how Grand Theft Auto 6 slipped quite that much, but you picked that up thinking maybe it would release in 2025. It obviously got delayed until May 2026, but that's been sitting on your bench, and I think it's safe to assume you're feeling good about that one. You drafted with your second pick Metal Gear Solid Delta, Snake Eater, which if I recall correctly, I think Gary was like, dude, that's not going to come out. And then it's not going to score well. Scored quite well, 86. I'm happy, right? I know Kojima wasn't involved, but hey, I'm glad to see that game getting some rave reviews. Same, it's kind of giving, dare I say it, Silent Hills 2, Bloober Team vibes. You know, I'm excited to pick up that remake, both of those, and play them for myself. With your third pick, you picked up Microsoft Avowed. That settled in at an 80. And maybe I didn't mention the score, but Snake Eater was an 86, so Avowed an 80. Your fourth pick, you picked up Ender Magnolia, Bloom in the Mist, which I know is a big fan of the first game. Kind of fell off the second one, but still like it. That settled at an 84. I've actually noticed some of your scores have kind of ticked up a bit, which is great. You picked up Pokemon Legends ZA, or ZA, which is coming out in October. We got a confirmed release date, October 16th, so imagine you feel good to hear that. You picked up 2 Point Museum, which is settled at an 84. And then with your final pick at the time, you picked up Backyard Baseball. That was, I know, a dream of yours. I pointed out, and that was my fault as league commissioner, that It's not like a real game yet. It's just kind of a concept. So you dropped that. You picked up Mind's Eye to kind of balance out the GTA 6 vibes. You picked up a game from former Rockstar talent. That game did not do too hot. Came in at a 37. Stayed there. The good news is that that is firmly on the bench alongside GTA 6. So my big question for you, Zach, is no doubt you're dropping Mind's Eye. I don't think you really want the lowest place trophy on your team. But my question is, are you going to bolster your, well, actually, I guess that's not a foregone conclusion because you could drop a game in your active lineup that is low. So I'm curious, how are you approaching? Are you thinking of drop, you know, Mind's Eye and maybe making a play for 2026, or maybe you drop a low score on your active roster and focus on 2025? Like, how are you kind of, knowing that the standings are narrow, what's your mindset heading into the waiver wire?
Wow. I mean, the possibilities really are endless here. I could go in any direction. I'm a total wild card. I barely know the rules, so that's going to play in here. It's going to be fun. I'm going to do something that's probably not allowed again. Can't wait. You know, I think the Pokemon wild card is a little bit tricky because I don't feel like the buzz is that hot for it. I feel like some of the trailers, some of the screenshots, people are looking like, eh, what's the deal with this thing? I mean, I had high hopes, but I'm not so sure. So I wouldn't hate to just see that go. I'm disappointed. Avowed really kind of let me down. I thought, I, you know, I think you said 80 there, and I figured that was going to be a lot higher. So there's a few directions. I'm probably going to mess it up. I'm very ill-equipped, unprepared, but, you know, we're all going to get through this together.
We will, and I know I'm realizing I'm leaving off a couple scores. It was 80 for Avowed, 84 for Ender Magnolia, 84 for 2-Point Museum. So you're sitting at an average of 83.5, which is important because when we transition to our team in fourth place with 83.7. So it's a 0.2 ahead of Team Zach. We've got Team Sam. This team is an Xbox. And so Sam, your first pick of the draft was Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. Still, I'm sure we're all incredibly excited for it, but there are some doubts about why has Nintendo opted not to share a date on that or anything really. We got a 45-minute presentation on Kirby Air Riders for November, releasing November, and nothing on Beyond yet. So
I'm not worried. Don't be worried.
No worries. Okay.
No worries.
All right, good. All right, so you're answering one of my questions ahead of time. That's good. Number two, you picked Sid Meier's Civilization VII. And we'll get back to that. But that game released to a 79, right? Wasn't exactly peak of the franchise, which I know you were definitely aware of. Third, you picked Doom the Dark Ages, which settled at 84. Then you picked Mina the Hollower, which I know you're very excited for. And, of course, coming out in October, so that's great to hear. And we've all played many of us have played it. Demo was great. I think that's obviously boding very well for you. Assassin's Creed Shadows was your fifth pick. Settles at about an 81. You know, not terrible, but not great. Then you picked Mixtape, just kind of like a swing on an indie game for still, I think, slated for 2025, but who knows? I mean, that's seeming like probably going to slip.
Yeah.
Yep, TBD, probably 2026. And then Wolverine, which definitely is 2026 plus, right? I think you knew that going in. So my question for you is, do you believe either Metroid Prime 4 or Mixtape will stick to 2025? It sounds like you're a believer in Beyond, because I think the question clearly is probably dropping one of the two of those. But tell me your thought process heading into this. Are you confident in both games? Are you likely going to drop one of them?
Let's put it this way. I feel like Nintendo is usually pretty clear about when they're delaying something. I think Metroid Prime 4 is just going to be like a squeaker. Like, this game might come out in like December 20th. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know. Like you said, I have to have faith. I have to have a little bit of faith.
Right. That's fair.
Let's put it this way. I'm not going to say I have faith in both of them coming out this year, but
right.
I don't know. I'm not going to do this thing again where I'm going to, like, I would rather stick with Metroid Prime 4 and be wrong.
Totally.
And drop it, and then it comes out and it's...
And I'm also giving you bad advice because, again, it's Dynasty, right? So if it comes out in January, you don't want to drop a potential big hitter, right?
Yeah.
So, if any, yeah.
Commish, just for my own planning as well into the future, and just as a rules clarification, we can move two games into next year, correct?
Yes, you can keep up to two. So you don't want your whole line. That's to discourage, you know, I'm going to bring four top tier games into 2026. Yeah, that's great.
And I think we have to spend our draft pick on it, right? We don't just get to automatically move them off the bench.
Correct, right. So what would happen is at the beginning of the draft, just like in, you know, fantasy sports, if let's say you keep, you know, let's say
Witcher Sam, 4.
Right, Witcher 4. You would defer. You would then not draft in that first. So you're giving up on a potential first round pick there, right? Or you are giving up a first round pick there. But that might work, right? If you feel like the game that you're keeping is on average going to be better than that round, probably. Like, I don't. Something tells me Zach's not going to. I'm going to roll the dice and drop GTA 6 and just draft again because someone else is going to snipe and take it, most likely. So. Yeah, you got to find your comfort zone, but that's two great clarifying questions. Thank you both for asking that. Okay, moving things along. In third place, this is where things get a little spicy, with 83.8, okay, so 0.1 above Sam, just barely eking it out. We've got Team Amanda. Oops, I did it again. Now, it's not as dire as it sounds, Amanda, because as a reminder, as of waiver wire, the first waiver wire, you had a 91.5. You came out of the year blazing hot. You drafted Elden Ring Nightreign, which ended up coming in at a 77, but I know Kay wrote a piece on the website and apparently, you know, kind of probably underscored compared to how people actually like that game. You drafted South of Midnight, which came in at a 77, and we'll get to that in a second. You drafted Split Fiction third. It's so funny to see the order of this. You drafted Split Fiction third, which ended up getting a 91. You drafted Blueprints 4th, which had a 92. No, sorry. You drafted The Witcher 4, right? Which obviously not come out this year. You drafted Blueprint 5th, which ended up settling at a 92. Granted, who could have foreseen that? But you know, the impressive scouting abilities of our own Amanda Tien. You drafted Mafia, The Old Country 6th, which, again, as Sam said, it settled at a 74, but doesn't seem, you know, that's your low point. That's not a bad place to be. And then finally, you drafted Hyper Light Breaker, which came out in Early Access January. Not a good release. That's one that is, you know, not worth mulling over. But during the waiver wire, you dropped South of Midnight, which was a 77. You picked up The Altars, which you ended up reviewing and liking quite a bit. That was an 8-point improvement. That was an 85. So that was a you know, great play there. Masterful gambit. So you're at the 83.8, but again, you have two scores that are kind of pulling you down. So it really, the question is, are you dropping Mafia and taking a stab on something else that could have like a higher floor in the fall, or are you investing in 2026? I'm curious what's going through your mind, Amanda.
Yeah, I think my goal for the whole season has been like, oh, I want to win. But my team name is also in allusion to Oops, I Did It Again, isn't it? I do just enough research, mostly driven by things I like and not enough research about what games actually are. Like, I used my first pick on Elden Ring Nightreign because I was like, oh, it's the first time there's going to be like an Elden Ring like sequel thing. That's got to be amazing. People love that game. And when we had ranked on the site the best game of the years of all time, like Elden Ring came out, I think, in the top spot. So I was like, oh, it's going to have to win. Little did I know, because I had done zero research, that it was a game that's like by a spinoff studio and that it was going to be multiplayer. If I had known those two things, which are baseline available information, if I had done the bare minimum of Googling it, I would have known that. I would have not picked it, but did through the research. So I think, given all of this, I am leaning towards dropping Mafia, The Old Country, and then picking up, you know, and when I picked it up, or when I had it in the first place, I think I was just looking at what games we knew were coming out, which were not a ton for the latter half of 2025. There's a lot of cards held. And I thought the world building looked good. I thought the combat would probably be fine. And we've discussed it previously, both on and on off the podcast, but 2025 just seems to have like a lot of depressed scores in general, which might have to do with like the state of the world and in life. And so games just like aren't hitting those higher marks. So even if it's a fine game, I think it is ripe to be dropped. I'm happy to recap my Hollow Knight pain, but maybe
Barbie thinks, I know, I definitely want to get your take on that. I think we should save it for the team that has it, and then I'll circle back to you.
Perfect.
Okay, now we're getting into kind of one tier above the middle of the pack. In second place with an average of 85.5, we have Team Gary, Gary's Glorious Games. Gary, you start off the year as well hot. You drafted Monster Hunter Wilds with your first pick. That was an 88. Then you drafted Like a Dragon, Pirate, Yakuza, and Hawaii. That was a 79, right?
More like Pirate, but I forget. What was it?
I think
it?
You made that exact same joke.
But Pirate something. Just, that game sucked, Gary.
Always, always funny. Every time you say it, it just gets funnier.
Zach, just close your mind's eye and think about things, okay?
He fucking kicked for you.
Anyway, we had the clapbacks. It's good. We're enjoying. Third pick for you, Gary, was Clair Obscur, a little game called Clair Obscur Expedition 33. And that's another one that's just like, wow, with the third, it goes to show this year was a lot of it was like games that came out of nowhere or relative nowhere to become very big games. So that was a 93 for you. That's the highest scoring game of the bunch across all our teams. Number four, you picked an indie called Replace that you're extremely excited about, which had, it's a little murky when it's coming out, but I think kind of safe to assume it's going to slip into 2026. You picked Fable, which at the time we thought might have come out in 2025, but has since been delayed to 2026 officially. You picked up Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves, which was an 80. We'll get back to that. You ended up dropping it. And then you picked up Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra, which also got it has slipped to 2026. So you did end up dropping Fatal Fury, which was an 80. You picked up Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. That ended up coming in at an 82. So you made a slight improvement, slight gain there. But the big question for you, and I think this is what's interesting, is that you're in second place right now. You have two games that are definite 2026. You have one indie that, if I were a betting man, I would say most likely 2026. So the question is, do you drop to Replace and make a play for something else this year? Or do you drop Like a Dragon, Pirate, Yakuza in Hawaii? Try to make a play there and a bet on Replaced. Do you punt and draft something, you know, for 2026? What's your thoughts, reflections on your team heading into the waiver wire?
So it's complicated. So I had thought that this was finally going to be the year for Replaced. It was originally announced in 2021. There had been murmurs that it was finally going to hit. And then I found out months later that there was information available to me that there was an insider stock report on the publisher that had slated Replaced again for 2026. That was information I could have known drafting it and whatnot. But at the same time, I was comfortable taking it because I thought Fable might come out by the end of this year. So, you know, there was a little bit of wiggle room there. Now I'm sitting on three games that all seem pretty decently scored that are going to be in 2026, and I can only move two of them anyway. So I am in this very unsafe position as to what I can do.
Mm. Yeah, I'm very fascinated to see how this you know, pans out with you, Gary. But I do think it's a testament, like, again, the range of our, and the, you know, I'm not the mathematician, so I don't know. The average is, you know, an 8-5 point differential on an average is a lot. Don't get me wrong, 5.5 point. But the things, there's a lot more information now than we had, obviously, during the first waiver wire at the start of the year. And so I'm really interested to see what moves folks make based on the information. And so I say that as a preface. Obviously, I am in first place with 87.5. However, what I will say is that I started off the year with very few games. No, we went into waiver wire one. I had not a single game scored. Going into waiver wire two, I have two games scored. So I could implode, right? I could end up being last for all we know. I have a feeling probably not, but we will see. So my draft picks, first pick I had, I drafted Ghost of Yotei. Then I drafted Hades 2, which is in early access, but we're waiting for it to release. And the belief is that it's going to release before the end of the year. And Supergiant confirmed, you know, the next patch will be the last one. And, you know, hopefully if we can connect the dots there, that means it's coming soon. Death Stranding 2 on the Beach was number three for me. That ended up coming in at an 89. Very pleased with that. Hollow Knight Silksong was my number four. And I know, I want to take a little break here, Amanda. I know the story, the lore of fantasy gaming was that Amanda had Hollow Knight Silksong the previous year. And then we decided to go
two years, bro. I tried to get that shit for 2 years. So
I missed that. That explains why she's pissed. 2 years in a row she has drafted
it. That's the thing, man. That's the whole thing.
All right, I missed the lore, I guess.
Crazy.
All right, my bad.
I forgot you blacked it out, because unlike me, whereas I have lived with my pain every day.
Me and the opportunist, the second we reset the league, I'm like, I think we could go Holiday Silk Song. Now, granted, I took it with... What did I take it?
You took it with Hades 2 on the Switch, because I had also drafted Hades 2 last
year. Yeah, right. So I made a bet on two games that were iffy that I was like...
You took it with your fourth pick for sure, but you did take it at the top of the fourth round because you had back-to-backers.
I see. So I can't remember at the time, Amanda, were you just staying far away? I thought you were reserved to not pick it up.
I was trying really hard not to pick it up again, especially because last year it was when we did sort of our second waiver wire. I dropped Hollow Knight, to which David, you and Sam cheered for me because you were just so happy that I was like letting go of it. It was like a sign of like my emotional progress that I could be mature enough to just like stop believing in it and just be like, it's okay to cut this game out of your life. Just like some toxic people, you could just be like, that's okay, you can say bye.
Right.
So yeah, no, I just felt really burned, and I just genuinely thought it was like maybe never going to come out. And so I wanted to win, and I haven't won at all. So I just thought, there's no way anyone will win with that. So.
Yeah. I mean, this was the once in a lifetime cue that whatever the comment section said, right? Just got to believe once. I got lucky. I'm not going to lie. Right. I think in my predictions article for this year, I went against Jason Schreier and thought that Silksong was not going to come out this year. And I hedged my bet by grabbing it in fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
At the very least.
You had it both ways.
I thought it would come out next year, right? But a pleasant surprise. With my fifth pick, I picked up Deltarune. At the time, I called it Chapter 3 and 4. We ended up making an amendment or a group decision that we would honor the fact that it released retroactively. Toby Fox considered Chapters 1 and 2 of Deltarune as like a demo. So Deltarune 1 and 4 became like the official release. So that landed at an 86 with like, you know, it's a small sample size, but enough to get a meta score. Obviously pleased with that. It's been a long time in the making. So that worked out in my favor. With my sixth pick, I picked Lost Soulside. That game is literally coming out in 5 days. Review embargo clearly hasn't dropped yet. I have no clue what the gauge is on this game. My big question for I'm just debating, do I keep this game or not? And I'm leaning towards not, just because I just don't, I have enough ammunition on my team to slot something in, because my very last pick was The Outer Worlds 2. So, between the 89 for Death Stranding 2, the 86 for Deltarune, I've got the 87.5 again, can ebb and flow, right? For all we know, Silksong maybe is a giant disappointment. Maybe Hades 2 does not come out this year. Maybe, you know, I don't have a ton of confidence in Outer Worlds 2 or Lost Soulside. Ghost of Yote could be more of the same. So it remains to be seen. You never know, right? As we've seen with Split Fiction, Blueprints, countless other games, Clair Obscur, you want to believe. This league is about believing.
There is so much variable, because they are games that we have confidence in due to past success, but... My best, like, the best counter to that is actually off my own team. You know, Monster Hunter Worlds, the last big Monster Hunter release besides Rise, scored it a 93. And now the new one is at an 88. You know, regression is a thing that can happen with sequels and with continued studio work.
Totally. And expectations, right? So if people expect Hollow Knight Silksong to be this massive step up and it's just kind of more of the same, or dare we say worse, you know, that could reflect largely in the score. Before we head into the waiver wire, just one note is that I actually deferred my pick during the first waiver wire. So how this is going to work, and if you all hop into, I know, our notes doc, I'm going to reveal the waiver wire order. Just to reiterate for our audience, drafting first is going to be Allison, then Zach, then Sam, then Amanda, then Gary, and then myself. And then if I so choose, we'll have the option to draft again, because I defer to pick. So I'm drafting last. I'm not expecting to get like some game-changing stuff here, but at least I'll have some flexibility in how I maybe retool my team heading into the fall or heading into 2026. So any questions on where the waiver wire stands, the order, or are we good to jump into things?
I just want to confirm, right, that we are... Well, I have two questions. One,
confirming that games that don't come out at all will be a zero on the main five roster.
Yes.
And the second question is, can you flag, I think my team, I know all of my five games have come out. Who else has games that where everybody has all come out? Or
yeah.
Who's still waiting?
And what I'm going to do real quick before we jump in, and I'm going to do a little magic behind the scenes. I know it's tough to conceptualize all this, and this is why we give guides on the website for folks to kind of see their, you know, our teams with a visual. Here, if you all click into this, you can, into this link I just shared, you can kind of see the bottom image for each team is where folks are at. So you can kind of get a sense as you're planning. So the only other, I think, Amanda, you're the only person with five games that have, you know, confirmed, you know, like set in place in your lineup right now. Allison and Zach both have four. Sam has three, and Gary has four as well. And I, of course, have two. So just so, yeah, we have all the information on the table here. I'm not sure. It's getting complicated, so I don't know. I don't know what's the optimal play in any case here, but this is what's fun about Dynasty. It's when do you punt? When do you go all in? I don't know. This is what it's all about. But in any case, Allison, if you don't have questions of your own, you have pick of the litter here. You can go in whatever direction you want. I'm very curious to hear what you're going to do with your waiver wire pick.
Oh, no. So I am just happy that I have games that are going to come out. I don't think I'm going to do anything. I'm going to keep it the way it is.
It's good. I like the conviction to what you've got. Zach, you're next up.
Oh, man. I was not prepared. So let's see here. If I'm looking at this right, I've got a starting lineup with MGSDSE, as we know, my favorite game of all time. 86 just came out. Take that, Gary. And then I got a couple 84s, and Avowed's just sitting there with an 80, which means I can drop this, right? I can get rid of Avowed. I can say see you later because it's not helping me out that much, and I can re-roll a little bit. Mind's Eye's just sitting on the bench. We don't need to worry about
right.
that.
Right, exactly.
Because I was thinking, you know, I got to drop Mind's Eye, get it out of there. But I kind of like it. It's just, you know, it's just there for the vibes.
Badge of honor.
37 baby. On the bench, just chilling, right? That's okay. So let's kick Avowed to the curb. Let's hope that Pokemon Legend Zah does me well. And, you know, I'm a little torn on what to pick. I've been noticing... here's the deal. I think I'm going to make a mistake here no matter what. So what? Who cares, right? We're just having fun. We're just doing it for the vibes. So there's a few things I could pick. There's some big games coming out. Obviously, we got some new Nintendo things that I got my eye on. But I'm gonna go for an indie that I personally got to play. And David, I think know where I'm going. Because I'm a really big fan, and I feel like there's a way that this thing goes, right? It's like either these indies are coming out of nowhere with the high scores, or these like massive, just like huge games are getting the high scores, right? We know, Clair Obscur, whatever. These things are big, but it just doesn't seem like, I forget, you know, what example you just used, but the things that are kind of like, oh, the second in a series, Monster Hunter, oh, 88, cool. It's like, great, are people sick of it? Like, we got to either have an indie or something massive. So I'm going total indie. That's enough preamble. It's a game by the name of Giga Sword. And shout out my guy, Jack Breen, solo developer, made this game. We got to play it at PAX East. Had a blast. And it got a release date, I want to say October 2nd, something like that, coming up pretty soon.
Sounds about right.
And I just think it's really fun. A little Metroidvania, a little puzzle platformer. You got this big-ass sword, the Giga Sword. You're playing around with different environmental puzzles, figuring out how to navigate through this tower. It looks really fun. Got to do a little hands-on. And why not? You know, let's just hope that this indie comes out of nowhere, makes some noise, surprises people. And I think that's the move. We're just going to... And either way, we're going to have fun with it. Shout out Jack. He was such a great guy, such a fun person to meet. And I'll have fun with Giga Sword no matter what. So maybe it's a double whammy. Maybe I get him one.
Did you play that at PAX East this year?
Yeah, had a ton.
Nice. Look at you doing on the ground research for fantasy.
There you go.
That's
no, what I'm saying.
Totally. And I played it too after the fact because a few games you know, concurrently with PAX were available online. So I had it on the Steam Deck, and it was like a meaty demo, like 30 minutes. And I love where you're going with this, Zach. I do. I love the fact that you're swinging for the fences. You're going with your heart. You're going with something that you liked. And I also like the fact that you're using the platform here of the podcast to shout out a solo dev. That man was hustling. He was like cosplayed as the character, holding the sword. You know, like that's not easy work. Like, you know, a sweaty, you know, expo hall with a bunch of fellow nerds and geeks roaming the halls. But his game, it was played like butter. So I'm excited to see, and I'm rooting for you, Zach. I hope it pans out.
There you go. We'll see. Yeah. Who knows? But between that and Pokemon, we're going to make some noise. Yeah.
All right. Sam, you know I am very interested to see where the story goes with you next with your waiver wire pick. What are you up to?
I'm going to be very quick about this. Mixtape is out of here. I just don't think it's coming out this year. And if it does, it's not so much that I don't think it's going to be great. I don't think the Metacritic score is going to be high enough to justify keeping it.
Sure.
I feel like I have the third pick here, but it's like I have the first pick because I don't even know what Gigasaur is, and Allison didn't pick at all.
Yep.
For all I know, Zach, you just picked Sam Bowie, and I'm getting Michael Jordan. So I'm going to pick Ninja Gaiden 4. Yeah, Gary's mad. You wanted that. You wanted Ninja Gaiden.
It was certainly in the running, let's say.
Yeah, I complicated feelings about this game for a number of reasons that I've mentioned in my Punish notes, but I do think it's going to score well. It's Ninja Gaiden, people love that, and Platinum Games is working on it, and they have a good reputation, even though they have a lot of flops. So, I feel good about my pick. I'm just going to stick with Metroid Prime 4, and if not, I can always bump in Mina the Hollower. So, I'm not going to do that just yet, but I have that option.
I like it. Yeah. It's good. I forgot, is Platinum like the developer of Ninja Gaiden 4?
It's hard to say.
Are they working with Team Ninja?
Yeah, it's them and Team Ninja together, okay. I think.
It's interesting. That's definitely one of the big fall games that, you know, was out in the wild for us, so I'm glad that someone picked it up.
We also didn't know about it the first draft. It wasn't announced yet.
Yeah, but we did, correct me if I'm wrong, we knew about it by Waiver Wire 1. It just kind of like slipped through, right?
Yeah, well, it's like the Switch 2 had just been announced, and that was drawing all the attention.
We also didn't have a date for it yet.
That's fair.
It was amorphous 2025.
Yeah, and that was before, now we've had like a lot of the Ninja Gaiden games. We had the 2D Ninja Gaiden that was really good. We had obviously Ninja Gaiden Black, you know, remake, remaster, whatever that was. Cool, Sam. All right, Amanda. You've got the next pick, and you know I'm curious what you're up to as well. So what's going through your mind?
Yeah, well, this is good. I didn't want to ask it before because I didn't want to spill the beans.
Yeah, of course.
So I am interested in Final Fantasy Tactics, the Evilise Chronicles. It's defined as an expanded remaster. I don't know where that falls between remaster, remake. We've previously said no straight remasters, no straight ports, but we've said okay to remakes. So where do we think that falls?
I'll leave this up to a group decision. I want to veto that because I feel like it's too close to like just the existing game. Like it's just not a ground up remake. Like giving voice acting and maybe some other like bells and whistles doesn't feel enough to me.
Yeah.
I believe Amanda's owed reparations, so I'll allow it.
I will also say though, Amanda, that there is another RPG coming out this fall that is a remake. Ground up remake that could be good as well, if you catch my hint. That Sam, I assume, if Sam had not picked Ninja Gaiden, might have considered. Hint, hint, wink, wink. That's all I'll say. But what do we think about?
Hold on for a second, Amanda. Do you actually know what David's talking about?
I have no fucking idea what's talking about.
It's the Dragon Quest 1+2 remake.
Oh, okay.
There's also the Trails in the Sky remake.
Yeah,
too. I think both of those count.
I have another game that I would pick as my second, but
let's see what the group's thinks. What so Sam's is yes, I say no. Gary, Zach, Allison, what do you think?
This isn't a live-a-live situation. Like if it was a full kind of from the ground up remake with like a new perspective or anything like that, like gameplay changes, absolutely. This is not that. This is just the straight game with some added bells and whistles, and the bells and whistles are not a new seat. It is literally a new version of the horn in the car. So I'm going to say no.
Okay. Zach, Allison, what do you think?
Bro, I don't care. Give him whatever Amanda wants.
Oh my gosh. I knew this is where this is going to be.
Allison, it's on you. Allison, ignore it.
I say trust women.
Oh! Okay. Oh! She played the gender card! Oh!
Wow. Is it because I looked like I was going to cry earlier? Is that why?
No.
Yes.
For Sam, 100%. Well, neat. For the record, I probably would vote against myself, but that was a winning vote, so I'll take it.
All right, as a concession for Silk Song, we will allow Amanda to drop Mafia.
The old Amanda's just going to get one of the greatest games of all time for free.
There will forever be an asterisk next to her name if she does end up winning.
I'm okay, well,
you can get the Barry Bonds championship. You know, like it's
exactly.
Fine, whatever. He still gets his points. Whatever, I don't give a shit.
Okay,
you're dropping Mafia.
Take it.
Yes.
Oh man, if I had known, I have a friend who was a voice in Mafia. So now I take it back.
Well, shout out to your friend. Wish him the best.
Shout out Karina Conti, voice in Mafia. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
That's right.
Cool. Wow. Just casually drops that. All right. Well, the vote has settled.
So for the record, I have drafted a remake before that absolutely did not live up to it. So let us not forget when I drafted the Mario Party remake bullshit. So just let me know that I have suffered many years.
Right. They don't always score that well because it is a known quantity, right? So
yeah,
it's a blessing and a curse. We'll see. My guess is that'll be like an 82, 84. But
I think that could be like a 93,
94. I will bet serious money it is not that. It will not be an 93, 94. I just said that. I'll bet. I'm a serious sports bettor, so I should not say that. My partner who's in the room right now is glaring at me, so let's not do that.
But. Here, we'll do this. We'll do this. How about I accept, given that I would have voted against myself for the remaster question, I will draft Outer Worlds 2, but let it be known.
I have Outer Worlds 2.
You have it?
Yeah. It was his last pick.
How about this? I'll trade it to you. Do you want it?
For what?
Honestly, nothing. Like, you can just have it. Do you want it?
This is so insulting.
The Brooklyn Nets 2030 second round pick.
You know what? I'm keeping my Evelyn's Chronicles shit. And you know what? I have editor access. So if there's a asterisk on it, then I will just write a bunch of words about you. So that's okay.
Wow. Wow.
I'm keeping my shit. I take it back. You know what? The sass was unnecessary.
I didn't expect this to be the big controversy of this.
The election is under siege right now.
Well, you know what?
We're not respecting the rules.
Point.
Stop the count.
David has been quite every time that I mention how depressed I am in the Discord about Hollow Knight Silk Song, David does not react lovingly. He just comments as if nothing happened. And to your point, he also had a shady sideline about it earlier. So you know what? I do these chronicles, and I say thank you, and I will sit quietly.
Okay. All right. Let's move things along. Gary, you have the second to last, well, third to last tactically, pick here. What are you grabbing?
I'm gonna go as quickly as I can, but I'm gonna walk you through the past like 5 days or so.
Sure.
So I entered
five
this
days,
week.
Gary, that's funny days.
Quiet, shut up, Zach. I'm trying to go fast. So I walked into this week expecting to drop replaced as vaporware and move on with my life. Just fully accepting that it was never going to happen. It was never coming out. That was going to be development limbo forever, and we move on. Literally yesterday. IGN puts up a big hands-on preview with Replaced, basically saying, yes, it's coming in 2026, but here's what it looks like, here's everything else. And it looks like it is exactly the game that I expected it to be when they announced it in 2021. So I am moving Replaced to the bench. I am moving Fable to my active lineup, and I am dropping Fable.
You're dropping Fable over Marvel 1945?
Yes, because I think Fable looks like shit. Everything.
Actually, you know what? That makes sense.
I would rather go for the game that I haven't seen yet. And who knows if I decide to move Marvel into the future as well. Like that's a bridge I will cross, you know, once we get to the draft next year. But at the very least, I'm going to hold on to Marvel and I'm going to hold on to Replaced in my benches. I am dropping Fable and I am going to pick up Lumines.
Lumines Arise specifically.
Yes, Lumines Arise, slated for this fall. No specific date yet, so I am taking a small gamble. But because of the time between announcement and when they were saying it's 2025, fairly certain it's going to come out this fall, probably late October, early November is my guess. And if it scores like Tetris Effect, I've got a 93-94 on my hands.
Wow. I like it. I like it.
I wasn't paying attention. You just picked Luis Arise, second baseman for the San Diego Padres?
Yes, I did.
All right, cool.
All right, cool. Well, now things come to me. I promise, Amanda, I'm not trying to. Look, hey, I'm in a good spot. In a good spot.
Your picks has to be Dragon Quest Remake as a.
Honestly, if I was fiending for a game this year, I think I would. The reality is, right? Lost Soul Aside is the game I'm dropping for sure. I'm dropping that game
with your first of the waiver wire.
With my first of the picks, right?
We have two, so
dude, right? Exactly. Great clarification. I think between Death Stranding, Deltarune, Hollow Knight, Silksong, I don't care. Like, even if it's bad, we're obviously letting that game ride, right? Coming out in September,
you have to.
Have to let it ride at this point. And then I think Ghost of Yotei and Outer Worlds 2 is kind of like, I kind of could switch them back and forth. I trust Sony more than Microsoft, so Yotei is in the active lineup. And then it's a question of basically where I'm at is like, if Hades 2 releases out of early access this year, awesome, sweet, right? Like, I think that would be the feather in the cap for my team. If it doesn't, no, you know, like I'm chill, keep it into 2026 and we slot in Outer Worlds 2. I think for Lost Soul Aside, I'm looking ahead. I think I'm in a position where I can look ahead. So I'm going to drop Lost Soul Aside. I'm going to pick up Resident Evil Requiem.
Oh,
is that it? Yeah. I'm actually kind of astonished that no one took it.
Well, because you're already I play it for right now, man.
We're all such in position to actually contend for this year because, like, there is
this narrow
that you crash out. There is potential that, like, all these things. Like, I don't think any of us can gamble into 2026 beyond what we already have for 2026.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. And I was trying to give all the information on the table. That's why I was kind of hinting. I'm like, remember, you can pick stuff in 2026. You could reinvest in this, you know, the fall. And so I'm glad that it felt like everything on the table. But yeah, I feel good about that. That allows me to slot in. Basically, for now, I'm going to slot Hades 2 into my active lineup just in case there's like a stealth drop on like a Nintendo Direct or something. But if it doesn't, I'll swap in Outer Worlds 2. Which brings me to my second theoretical pick, which I could drop. And I would probably drop Outer Worlds 2. If I were to do, and I'm trying to say this because we had some controversy last time on the drafted stuff where Amanda's like, no, you said it. You're doing something. And I was like, stop. I'm doing something.
I will also remind you, David.
Yes.
With that plan, that means that we need to have Hades 2 information for release before the probably 18th of October. Because Outer Worlds 2 comes out October 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Reviews will probably drop about a week beforehand.
Helping him. What are you doing?
He's already said he's done it, so I'm not helping him anymore. I'm just telling him.
Don't give him any information.
I mean, I think we're on the same page. I think that's a good reminder is that, you know, I mean, I'm willing to take that time. And honestly, if we get close to the release of Outer Worlds 2, obviously I have to swap in Outer Worlds 2 so I don't get, you know,
It's a tightrope.
It's a tightrope. And there are, and I will say, because no one could draft after me, I'll just say there are some, you know, promising games. The other game that I was considering drafting instead of Requiem was Pragmata, which just feels like, I feel like Capcom just has so many tools in its arsenal. And if there's one publisher I'm going to bet on that, obviously you can't, like GTA 6 is taken. Like there's a lot of games that are already accounted for potentially. You know, you've taken Witcher 4, Amanda. There's some good Dynasty assets that folks have. It's a tough balance. Like I could go all in and really be like, I want Hades 2 to come out this year really badly. And it feels like it will, but I'm not so gung-ho that I'm just going to like throw everything, you know, in and I'm not that cocky. So I will defer, or, you know, throw away my second pick, if you will. And yeah, got my guy. I feel like Danny Ainge with Jason Tatum.
Yeah, so games that kind of slipped through that weren't talked about as well, like no one grabbed Kirby Air Riders.
Yeah.
like a big Nintendo property nobody has.
But Battlefield 6, that's getting something.
Yeah, Battlefield 6, Black Ops 7. I mean, there were some.
I mean, I think that's also
Borderlands 4.
I was thinking about it earlier, and I feel like those games are like we've talked about it, right? Like
they're all like 81s.
They're all games that we get. Like, what is different about Borderlands 4 compared to any of the other Borderlands? It's like, yes, this is going to be like revolutionary. Like they've been talking up Black Ops 7 as like something new, and I don't believe it. Like I'm like, this is just another Call of Duty game.
But David, you could have four people.
It's like, I don't know. I'm proud of us for not taking the bait there. And I feel like maybe there was an opportunity to build a floor, but I like that we're sticking to the games that we originally picked. Like, show some integrity here.
I will say, Black Ops, I mean, like, don't speak to me. Black Ops 7 was going to be my third one. Mm. My second was Outer Worlds 2, which then I forgot you already had. And then it was Black Ops 7. Okay. I think that's also to say that, you know, we picked the majority of the team at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And so this waiver wire for mostly everybody is only one pick. And so by definition, that means only six games can get picked. And so we all, you know, we pick them.
Yeah.
Well said.
Now that we've gone through this, I did want to offer to, I mean, maybe we'll cut this if you guys don't approve, but like, Allison, you know, it was thrown at you pretty quickly and you didn't end up using anything. Is there anything that you do want to, did you want to change your mind and do anything, or are you still good with your team?
I mean, I'm sort of thinking of Octopath Traveler Zero, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in my team anymore. And I don't feel like anything is going to make a big enough
difference. Take Pragmata.
It's hard to go first.
It is.
And you've had a rough hand, and you really believed in the indies, and they did not come through.
Well, I didn't even know that many first-party games coming out back in January.
Yeah, because there weren't that many. You know?
No, and like even with Nintendo, they've been so slow to like drip feed games to us this year. I'm like, I don't know. I'm gonna be decisive, and I'm gonna stick with what I did.
Good for you.
Yeah,
I like the integrity play. Like,
yeah,
we're aside about first and foremost indies and hidden gems, you know, and old games and horror and cozy and all that. But I love the fact that we've got a lot of, jokes aside, Amanda, right? We all have a lot of integrity in this group. This is a good group, great group of people. I'm not being facetious. And
I know, I can't even look at you. Like literally the other day we had a meeting and I was like, I love you guys. And right now I can't even speak to you. Like, I can't even look at you.
This is how it goes. That's our segment. Thank you all for participating. I want to get back to Amanda to potentially you get the final segment.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here in a second. All right. So to close out our episode, we love checking in with this question. What are you playing right now that you're enjoying? I had played a lot of Assassin's Creed Shadows this summer. It was like a great, you know, as you guys said earlier, like a B game. Like it was perfectly, I would say even better than average. Like it was fun. It certainly wasn't the best game of the year, but I had a great time with it. It was like a big giant world game. And as I like to do, I like to follow up playing really big games with really small games. So I've been playing Tiny Bookshop since then and it is delightful. What about y'all? What are you playing that is feeling real good lately?
I just finished Sword of the Sea, which is by Giant Squid. They did Abzu and The Pathless. It's a studio that's made up by people who used to be at that game company, but made Journey. So it's that very like vibey, wordless, just kind of like going out into this random world and not really having a lot explained to you. And a nice like little tight 4-hour experience. I thought it was great. I'm really high on Sword of the Sea. You're surfing on sand on a sword. Like your sword is your surfboard and you can do like Tony Hawk tricks and stuff. It's really great. It's almost hard to explain it because it's one of those games where you kind of have to see it to believe it. So that's a good one. I also just started Unicorn Overlord, which came out last year, which is basically Vanillaware making Fire Emblem. It's really cool. I love it so far. It's got an interesting story, great characters, a cool battle system. I definitely check that out. If I had played this game last year when it came out, it absolutely would have been, at least based on what I've played so far, like a contender, at least a top 5, top 10 game of the year contender. Yeah. again, I've only played like 3 hours, but it's made a good impression on me so far.
I can go next. So I'm playing right now. It's interesting. I feel like no one has really heard of these games, but for my fans of Metroidvanias out there, there's a developer. His name is Kyle Thompson, and he and his brother develop like these really kind of niche. I would almost call them like the cross between like a cozy game and a Metroidvania. Like it's a Metroidvania structure, but the vibes are just really wholesome, uplifting. And so I've played, basically I've finished two earlier games that the two of them did. One does like art, programming, design. The other person does the music. And so the games are called Sheepo, that came out in 2020. Islets or Islets, 2022. And then probably some folks have heard of the third one, but Crypt Custodian, which came out in 2024. That was one that if you follow, like, you know, in the indie scene, was nominated for a couple of awards. So, and then I also bring it up because on the recent Nintendo Partner Direct, or maybe the Indie World, a game called Well Dweller was announced, which is the fourth game in this kind of lineage of untraditional Metroidvanias. So all that to say, if you want a Metroidvania that it's not like, they're not like the greatest games ever, but they're wholesome. They're like a little bit of a more of a chiller vibe, kind of like a lo-fi experience. Definitely recommend them. Try them out. And they're pretty reasonable. So that's what I've been playing.
I think I saw a couple of those on sale. I almost picked one up the other day. So that, I appreciate the rec. Because I've been bouncing off stuff recently, played a few things. I won't go through and talk smack about anything, but just been struggling. And the DK Bonanza hasn't been calling me back the way I wanted it to. But I think that's really what I got to sit down and finish before we get to Hollow Knight. So DK Bonanza, I've got to get to the, I don't know, David, you said 800, something like that, sublayer. Once I get there, I'm sure it'll be smooth sailing. And then it's Silk Song all fall, all winter long.
Yeah. I am also kind of just in a check things off before things get a little wild over the next couple of weeks, trying to finish up Bonanza as quickly as I can. I am very much looking forward to a game that I hopefully will have a review on the site for before this podcast posts, which for all of you Persona people out there, take a look. And then getting ready for Silksong. And then I've been back in my league shit recently, and I'm not happy with myself for it. So I'm trying to slowly wean myself back off that specific drug.
Good luck.
Look, it's hard. It's hard not to go to what feels good and hits right.
Especially because like the comfort multiplayer that I had before that, Apex, has gotten, I will be straight, has gotten bad.
Yeah, I haven't played it in ages. Yeah.
And you know, Marvel Rivals didn't really grab me either. So I've just kind of went back to the nectar of the Riot games. But hopefully I'll be cutting that off relatively soon.
Now, I just finished Is It Seat Taken? And I'm looking to start Tiny Bookshop today, so I'm very excited. Amanda gave it a 9.8 on the site, so it's gonna be a good one. And then I'm continuing to play Slay the Spire all the time. I just really want Slay the Spire 2, man. I just want to know more, at least.
But it's hard. It hurts. Yeah. And especially like talk about comfort games where you know too, where you're like, this is a great, not even comfort game, but like a consistent comfort challenge where you're like, this is still good. It still hits. Like, give me more. Give me better. Hopefully. Give me news. Oh, well, this was awesome. Thank you all for joining. We're currently ideating on what podcast topics we're going to do for the fall. So if you have something you'd love to hear about, you can leave us a comment on this piece at punishbacklog.com/podcasts. That's with an S at the end. But otherwise, thank you for joining us and happy gaming.